بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: ولا تلعب، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected listeners, Alhamdulillah, we are now on lesson number 81 concerning wisdom of actions, and we have discussed, Alhamdulillah, so far one objective of fasting. And today we continue. Basically, the first objective of fasting was bring desires under the control of the intellect. When a person may desire to have his intellect control his nafs, this does not take place always. Secondly, safeguarding one from sins. And thirdly, a cure for fulfilling carnal desires. Obviously, Alhamdulillah, that these are the objectives of fasting, and then we are going to discuss also the benefits, the six benefits of fasting. Now, as I have explained previously, that these are what we call ijmali benefits and ijmali objectives. Ijmali meaning that these are in brief. Later on, I will come and discuss, if Allah wills, everything, salat, zakat, hajj, fasting, all in minute details. Minute details will go into the wisdom of all these pillars of Islam. As we have mentioned, that the second objective of fasting is safeguarding one from sins. When one sins, one may ensure abstention in future by punishing oneself with fasting for a period that is hard on the nafs. So this fasting actually serves as a penalty, a punishment, a deterrent, a lesson. And when a person sins, then he needs to be admonished, and admonished firmly, hardly, severely, properly. Now, because the person sins, the fasting serves as a punishment for that person, and because fasting is strenuous upon the body, abstaining from drinking and eating and sexual relationship, so therefore it controls the body. It is with this objective in mind that the Sharia has ordained the kafara of breaking the Ramzan fast. The kafara of zihar and the kafara of manslaughter, which requires the offender to fast for two consecutive successive months. Now, why the severity? Because it must serve as a deterrent, and it must correct the body properly. For example, if a person he intentionally, willfully, purposefully, voluntarily breaks the fast, then that person has transgressed, that person has been disobedient, that person requires a strong punishment, a firm punishment, a severe punishment. That is why it is not just only that it is qaza, no, it is qaza plus kafara. And kafara means 2 months of fasting strenuously, 2 successive months, meaning 60 days of fasting, pair the repair, meaning that one after the other, no break in between. That is why they say that if a person is completing his kafara fast, or she is completing her kafara fast, then have no Eid bit in between, because that is going to disrupt the sequence. And when the sequence is disrupted, then that kafara will not be fulfilled. But the objective is that it is so severe, the penalty is so firm, that the person who has sinned and transgressed, he gets a complete wake-up call, and he understands that I have done something terribly wrong. Now the punishment and the penalty is so big and so heavy that I'll never do this again. Therefore, the fast, a general fast, it'll help a person who is generally sinful and who is generally neglectful and who is a person who is not bothered about disobedient to come in line. His alignment is brought into perspective, and this person will now, inshallah, be able to fast in a manner that it will rectify his transgression, and it will not allow this person to do anything that is wrong. And this person will be now focused. Why? He has been severely reprimanded. He has been severely taken to task by fasting. The third objective of fasting is it is a cure for fulfilling carnal desires. When a person cannot resist the opposite sex and is unable to marry, continuous fasting is effective in curbing his desires. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once addressed the Sahaba saying, "O assembly of youth, those of you who have the means to marry should do so, because marriage keeps the gazes lowered and ensures chastity. Those who do not have the means to marry should fast, because fasting is castration for him, because it quells his desires." Yeah, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is directly saying as the benefit or the objective of fasting, that is, it is a cure for fulfilling the carnal desires. Meaning that, for example, every person has in him imbibed, Allah Ta'ala has put into every person, male, female, the desire for sexual relationship. And this desire is great in some and less in some. But nevertheless, that this internal, inner desire for passion is there. Now, Islam, alhamdulillah, acknowledges it is a deen, a fitrah. It is a deen, a natural deen. And it has allowed a person to vent that, to release that. Like how anger, Islam acknowledges that every person has got anger. That is why we have got a channel for it, jihad, so that our anger goes away in enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil. Forbidding what is evil takes away the natural disposition of anger and it channels it into the right direction. Similarly, every person, male, female, has got passion. And many a times the males do not realize that the females have also these natural dispositions and these natural desires which need to be fulfilled as and when required. Obviously, in the permissible methods and in the permissible times and also during the permissible times. Now, if this is not done, then it disrupts the society. And when male and female do not fulfill their inner-born, imbibed sexual desires in their valid, proper methods, then the result is adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, pornography, nudity, all that takes place, shamelessness, immodesty takes place. But when it is done properly, like what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, that O assembly of youth, because the youth are those whose passion is ignited easily, and who have got this passion at its peak. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses the youth and says, those of you who have the means to marry should do so. Because now he mentions two benefits of the marriage. And says it keeps the gazes lowered and ensures chastity. So there are two easy, fundamental, basic benefits of marriage. That keeping the gaze down. Now, unfortunately, in our age of trial and tribulation, fitna and fasad, in our age where hourly both male and female, especially those that are working in environments where there is no gender separation, then you have this intermingling of genders as a result. Anything and everything can happen. Unfortunately, that even after a person is married, then he is forced by circumstances to look here, there and everywhere. But if a person, he must make an endeavor to be happily married. When a person is happily married, then that person, inshallah, he will lower his gaze. And this lowering the gaze, in fact, books have been written just on this particular topic, lowering the gaze. If we lower the gaze properly, correctly, and at the times when it is needed, then much of the evil around us can be circumvented. Why? Because the look is the arrow of the shaitan, is the spear of the shaitan. The person looks, and unfortunately, from one look to another, and this is progressive in nature to such an extent that The look creates the desire creates the passion creates the lust leads to illicit connection and contact and communication that results in contact, physical, and then unfortunately the last thing takes place. Starting from the look, unfortunately, this takes place. So we should be very cautious and careful that understand the purpose of marriage is to lower the gaze. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it ensures chastity, meaning that it ensures modesty. It creates dignity and honor. A person should be happy. The male should be happy, the husband should be happy with the wife, and the wife should be happy and pleased with the husband. Therefore, the husband should not be looking around, and the wife should not be looking around. And the husband should lower the gaze, as well as the wife should lower the gaze. And the husband should safeguard his dignity and modesty and chastity. Similarly, the wife should safeguard her dignity and chastity and modesty. That is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the wife that safeguards her chastity and modesty in the absence of a husband, that means protects the husband's belongings, the house and the wealth and the property and the possession of the husband, that wife is classified a jannati, one going to jannat, for safeguarding her dignity, her chastity, her modesty, her honor, which is the right of the husband. Similarly, this law does not only apply that the female must protect herself, but it applies that the male must protect himself also, that the male must protect his dignity and honor and chastity. People think that laws of hijab only apply to the females. People think that the laws of modesty only apply to the females. People are under the wrong impression. They think that the laws of moderation and the laws of safeguarding dignity, honor and chastity only apply to females. It applies more so to the males also. It doesn't mean that the males are who are allowed to go and seek livelihood, halal livelihood, and unfortunately come across gender mixing, then they are allowed to do what they want. In fact, the law is stricter on them, that the shaitan is after them more and puts them into precarious situations and puts them into dilemma and put them into predicament many a times, that the man does not know what to do because he is not in control of his eyes, he is not in control of his tongue, he is not in control of his ears. As a result, he is prone to sin. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding to comprehend the objectives of fasting. One is to bring the desires under the control of the intellect. Number two, safeguarding one from sin. And number three, a cure for fulfilling carnal desires. Now, inshallah, we continue with the benefits of fasting. Shaykh Wali Gullah Delvi Ramtullah Alayhi in Hujjatullah Al-Baligha, he explains six benefits of fasting. And Allama Sayyid Mufti Sayyid Palampuri, current Shaykh al-Hadith of Dioband, Darul Uloom Dioband, he expounds this in Rahmatullah in Wasiya. We explain. First benefit. Fasting is a great virtue, is a great act of virtue by which the angelic qualities of a person are strengthened, and the qualities of animalism in a person, they are weakened. There is nothing more effective than fasting in polishing the face of one's spirituality and overpowering the nafs. The hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes it evident that fasting is a great virtue. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, while the reward for every deed is multiplied from 10 to 700 times, Allah Ta'ala says, except for fasting, because fasting is for me, and I shall reward it personally, since a person forsakes his desire and eating solely for me. The fasting person shall have two moments of joy. One when he terminates the fast, and the one when he meets his Rabb on the day of Qiyamah and receives his reward. So what we understand very clearly from this is that the fasting allows the angelic qualities in man to become strong and powerful, and as a result the animalistic qualities in man are weakened and become less powerful. So it allows the good qualities in man to suppress the bad qualities. It allows the good qualities in man to supersede the bad qualities. It allows the good to overpower the bad. As I explained previously, that in man, you have got good and bad, angelic qualities and satanic qualities. You have got angelic energies and you've got satanic energies. You've got angelic qualities and you've got animalistic qualities. So when a person fasts, that it allows the quwwat, a malakiya, to supersede the quwwat, a shayateen, in the body. And then this allows the spiritual self to become polished and to shine, and to shine above the inner desires of the nafs. See, the nafs is inside the body, and the nafs is the inner desires, and the nafs drives the body, and the nafs controls the body, and the nafs, if it is not brought into balance, brought into checks and balances, then the nafs runs havoc with the body, and the nafs overtakes the body. What we see around us, that people sinning openly, people are fasik and fajir, people are open, blatant, flagrant sinners, this is a result when a person does not control the nafs. When the person does not control the nafs rides the body and takes the body here, there and everywhere. That is why certain people go to certain places where generally a good man won't be caught dead there, but people go there because the nafs has now gone out of control. The horse has bolted out of the stable and now this person is gone completely berserk. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that every deed that we do, Allah Ta'ala multiplies its reward from 10 to 700 times. So minimum reward we get when we do good is 10. And maximum, according to this hadith, 700 times. Now this is giving us an idea. By using this word 700 times, actually is saying to us that it is unlimited. For example, at times we use numbers even in the English language to denote quantity. We actually do not denote the actual number. For example, you say of a person that person, he asks 101 questions. Now, we don't actually mean that physically, numerically, that person is asking 101 questions. No, we mean that person is asking a lot of questions. So by saying 101 questions, we mean he asks too many questions. Similarly, that when Allah Ta'ala says that a person is rewarded 10 to 700, the meaning is unlimited. Because comes clearly in Quran al-Kareem that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards, and He rewards tremendously, without any limit. Then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, accept the fasting person. Because the person fasted for me, and I shall reward him personally. Since a person left his desires and eating solely for me. Then the fasting person has got two moments of joy. One, when he terminates the fast, and one when he meets his Rabb on the day of Qiyamah and receives his reward. Now, ulama, especially the Sufiya, say that I shall reward him personally. They say this means that I will be his reward. Meaning Allah Ta'ala is our reward because of fasting. Now there is such a reward which has not been given for any other act of ibadat. Now, whilst the risk of showing off exists in every good deed, it is not found in fasting. Because fasting is a secretive act known only to Allah. Zakat, the person, he can boast about it very easily. And you find people who give zakat generally boast. Person making hajj, it's an external activity. You can see the person is out there for hajj and umrah because of his external. A person making salat, because of the external, you can make out that a person is in salah. But fasting is a secretive act, only known to Allah. So Allah rewards it tremendously. In fact, fasting is such a great act that even the angels do not know how much reward a person is going to get, and they do not even know how much reward to reward. They just record all that is happening externally. The standard for conferring reward does not apply to fasting, and its reward will be conferred by Allah Himself for the day of Qiyamah. See, the malaika, a person does an action externally, the malaika record it, and they know, they can calculate the reward. But sincerity, devotion, humbleness, meekness, they cannot record that because it is in the heart. It is secretive. And the whole act of fasting is secretive in nature. Therefore, even the malaika, they do not know what to record. So this is, alhamdulillah, the first benefit of fasting. Inshallah, when we come back to lesson 82, we would continue the benefits of fasting. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.